Welcome back. Thanks for listening to all the other episodes that I've done. I encourage you to go back and listen to them all. Some may help, some may not. But anyway, so the last one we were speaking about the seal of God, which is a sign of the end times. I just had coffee. I think maybe coffee might disagree with my throat. Could be the milk powder. But, so, yeah, seal of God. Before that, the angel told me that I was from Tribe Naphtali. There's many things have happened in my life, and so as I'm talking through things, more memories are come back. One of them, just the other day, I was yakking with my wife about stuff. She likes to talk about biblical things and happenings in our lives, and since my memories have been coming back, she's been wanting to hear them all. And we're getting older, and so I'm recording these things. I'm actually recording them because one such thing that happened recently was that the Holy Spirit came to me and told me I was going to heaven. And I was pretty cool because I got like 2 weeks notice and I knew it was going to happen. And I'll actually do a podcast on that. I asked my wife if I'd done one and well, I didn't. She'd been listening to them and I hadn't spoken about that. So I'll do one on that. But this one is about something else. I'm just explaining this to you because we forget things. And so I'm recording them because I forget things. And the Holy Spirit did come to me to take me to heaven. So I felt that. I asked if I could stay. And God said, yes, I could stay for a little while longer to help get my house in order. Because it wasn't in order at the time. It's becoming in order now, though. And so I'm putting all this down so that my children can hear my testimonies. All these episodes are testimonies of my life. Different things that have happened, meeting angels, meeting in a cache, Holy Spirit experience I just said about, to go to heaven. But God let me stay, so I'll say that in another episode. This one is about evil. Evil, I'm not going to swear, but evil folk and how God brings your enemies down before you. And in later years, you get to see your enemy destroyed. God does this for his people. He destroys our enemies and lays them out before us so we can see them wrecked because of the things they done and the things they did not do. Which I'll explain. Now, I'm not going to put in Bible verses in my recordings anymore. Because I've come to realize, and I've come to learn from, could be the angels, could be the Holy Spirit, telling me that evil can listen to these. And we can, as we explain things, as I explain things, and I used to bring it in with Bible verses. Now, evil buggers can listen to it and learn from us. And not have to pick up the Word of God and read it. They can't pick up the Word of God and read it and understand it because they're evil. And that goes for all evil. Now, take into consideration what it says in Revelations about the mark. And now think of all the people that have the mark. And now they cannot pick up a Bible and read it and learn it. They could try by their own strength, but most of them just won't even pick one up now. They'll do it the easy way and listen to these. So I'm not going to quote Bible verses anymore. But God's people can. Now in this particular one, there's a lot of verses in Deuteronomy. And speak of our enemies being brought down before us and destroyed, scattered to the dusts of the wind, scattered like dusts in the wind, scattered to the four winds, our enemies flee before us and are destroyed. You can look them up, and you can open up a Bible and a Strong's Concordance, okay? Now, before I carry on, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Okay. So, another testimony, my wife said. Now, I didn't realise that all these recordings I was putting over are testimonies of, well, not necessarily all of them, but she said this one is. I suppose meeting the angel and being told of Naphtali could be one too. Meeting Jesus, shaking his hand, seeing him again, but the second time was more of a growling. I suppose hearing the Holy Spirit and hearing angels, that's pretty cool. But anyway, I'm receiving the seal. So there's a few, but this one she says is a good one. And so I told my children it the other day, and my wife said, I didn't know that. And I says, yeah, I didn't want to tell you at the time. anyway, makes me a bit nervous saying it. it's at my family home. Hang on. So anyway, there. And go downstairs and talk about it. So anyway, it goes back to when I was young. I was just a child. Coffee. So I was just a child, and me and my sister used to live in foster homes as we were young. We were just young. Our biological mother and father were quite irresponsible parents. And they drank a lot, partied a lot, done a lot of bad things in a lot of bad places, and trapped us around, and we saw a lot of bad things when we were young. Now, understand that various countries have different laws governing families and bad environments for children, and so we were uplifted by the government and put into foster homes, and a lot of them were pretty bad. And so I tried to remove myself and my sister from those places as best we could as children, and we spent a lot of time running away from them and being found by the police and taken back and escape again and again and again. And anyway, this one particular house we ended up in, it was like a little family environment. The other foster homes back then, there were just a lot of children around, and you were essentially just put into a room, and the doors were closed, and you were stuck there all day. And when you got a chance to get out, well, we got out all right. Well, I took my sister and we ran, and they were, well, I thought as a child they were bad, and so we spent a lot of time running. So we ended up in one where it was sort of like a family environment. We stayed there for a little while. It weren't so bad. I didn't see them as bad. I didn't see bad things happening. And you know, like kids being hit, which is what happened in a lot of the other ones. And the food was terrible in the other ones. Got growled a lot in the other ones. And when bigger children bullied the little ones, the people didn't do much. But in this new home, it was actually okay. So I thought. The parents were nice. So I thought. And, but it was actually the children that weren't so good. Now, we seemed nice, okay? So we played as normal children played and whatnot. So there was this, the guy, the man of the house, right? His wife, they had two daughters, older daughters, and a son. And in that house environment was, I remember, I was like 5 or 6, but my memory came back to me pretty vivid after the seal and after the anointing. And God's been bringing back my memories lately quite nice and vividly as I've been sharing them, more come up. So this particular memory, I remember the house, the man, and his wife, and his two daughters, older ones. They were the oldest in his children. I think they were twins or something, with a similar, very similar close age. And a son who was younger. I think he was like in his early teens, 12 or 13. I don't know, it seemed that way. And I think the older girls might have been around sort of 15, 16, 17, something like that. And in the house was also another dude who was being fostered, rather larger guy, but taller than the son, and they were mates. And there was this other younger one. Now, I remember being in that house and seeing one of the younger ones going to a foster home, being adopted. We weren't there long when that happened. And the family table was quite big, and we used to have dinners, and there was quite a lot of us there. So this other kid left. And then there was only this other big guy. His name was John. I don't remember any other names. And I remember John going to foster home, sort of meeting families and coming back and telling stories about leaving stuff at the bottom of stairwells for ghosts to see, and how he wanted to be a banker and blah, blah, blah. And the other family, I'm not going to say the other family's name, I'm not going to say too many names, but the other family were going to help him get into banking. So while we were there, we were seeing this guy going backwards and forwards and coming back to tell his stories about how he was going to go to a family and they were going to help him with his career. Now, the there was an occasion where I was just, I heard my sister, okay? I was wandering around the house and I heard her down the end of a hallway in this other guy's room. I walk in and she's lying on a bed, right? And there's this big fella, John, and the house owners, the family, their son. Their son was holding my little sister. Well, this fella, John, was looking like he was one in a raper. Now, at that age, I didn't know what was going on. She yelled out to me and said, "They're hurting me." And I said, "Leave her alone." She said, "We're not hurting her. Do you look like we're hurting her?" They were trying to reason with me and trying to convince me they weren't hurting her. She says, "They're hurting me, brother." And they called me by name. She called me by name. And so I told them to leave her alone. And they're standing there trying to convince me they're not hurting her. But one of them's holding her down. And so at that age, I'm thinking, you know, I'm like 5. What the fuck? What the heck you fellas doing? And so I says, no, let her go. And he looked at me and says, "Well, what are you going to do? You can't stop us." And I knew I very well couldn't do much to stop them, but I soon figured it out. I went down to the kitchen, got the biggest knife I could find. I went back into that room. I ran in to try and, I wanted to kill John. But I kind of missed out because the son of the house stood in my way. So I told him to get out of the way. He wouldn't. He literally stood between me and this other bigger kid. I don't know how old he was, but he was a bigger kid. Smaller than John. He stood in the way. Told him to get out of the way. He said, "No, you're not going to hurt him." I says, "Yeah, I'm going to kill him." So I went to go slash the son of the house. I slashed and managed to get a big slash right across his chest from his shoulder all the way down to his other. Now, like on a diagonal, you lift your right hand up, come down from the left, down to the right, all the way across his chest and stomach. Big cut with the biggest knife I could find in the kitchen. So I slashed him. He's screaming. John just takes a step back, like the coward he was, probably still is. Steps back. My sister manages to sort of get up, get herself sorted. In the meantime, I'm wondering, what am I going to do? Because this dude's screaming. All I remember next was, I wasn't there, and when I came to, because I must have got knocked out, someone must have knocked me out from behind, because I came to, had a sore head, I had some pills or something, must have, because I remember waking up in a kitchen, or in the dining room, or lounge, or something near the dining room table, and I woke up looking at the kitchen, and their son was standing there, and he said, I had to get blah, 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 many stitches. Look, look, I have stitches, look. He's bragging about how he had to get stitches and I'm some really bad person. Now, I told them why I done it. They didn't believe me. They defended him. And John. I'm just a little kid, right? I'm like 5 or 6 years old. And my little sister. And they, those parents, defended them and didn't believe us. Now, the man of the house, he had a cookie bear suit. That was his job. Griffin's cookie bear suit. You know those chocolate chip cookies you buy from the supermarket? He wore that suit. He was the cookie bear guy in Wellington. Wellington keeps coming up. So he was the cookie bear guy. Wearing that suit. I was fascinated as a kid when I saw that. And I would like to, I'd want to grab the hat and put it on and walk around with it. But it was big, way, way big, right? So I'm just this little kid trying to pick up the suit. And I remember him used to say to me back then that I couldn't wreck it or break it or dirty it because he had to take it to work. I don't recall what his wife used to do, but I do remember having dinners around the table and she prayed, gave thanks. She was a Christian. The two daughters weren't harsh or anything. They didn't do anything bad. Just their son. And I think the father defended that son too many times. I think he probably done it a few times, which would explain why there weren't very many children in that home in foster care. Sort of like a transit house. You go from the government to like a home where people would come and pick you up and see whether you wanted to be adopted by them or not. So I saw maybe two leave go, a little one and John. John ended up going to this other family. And my sister and I, we ended up getting picked up by another family. And so years pass. And the memories of me looking after my sister for many times in many different places and being picked up by police and all sorts of shit, trying to run away. I remember distinctly running away with her many times from all these foster homes. And that actually continued when we got to our foster family. I remember trying to run away with her many times as a child from horrible school and the mistreatment of teachers in school. And that didn't work too well because we're way out in the country. There's nowhere really to run to. Country communities being what they are, yeah, little kids aren't going to get believed. They just get picked up and taken back. And so years went by. And all these memories went away. And people grow up forgetting all these bad things. There's all these bad experiences that God allows us to go through, which strengthen us and harden us and make us who we are. And in later years, you tell the story. And in the Bible, it talks a lot about, in Deuteronomy, how your enemies get destroyed and brought down before you. Various other parts of the Bible say the same thing. So years went by. My wife, my lovely wife, that I prayed for many years. My wife also prayed for me, and we met each other, and we got married and had children. And God protects our children. My children would tell stories about how they got protected, especially your Nina. And so we're driving, my wife and I, and I think one of my other daughters was with us. And I don't remember how many other children were with us at the time, but I do remember me, my wife, my daughter Afi, she said to us that she remembers going to this particular bookshop. Mata Mata. There was a bookshop not far out of Mata Mata in this old factory building. There's a guy sitting there down the back. Oh, actually, I better tell the rest just before that. So we're driving back from Mata Mata, and there's this crossroad. Ah, there's the crossroad again, like in the last episode, right? Crossroad. And just off that crossroad is some old brick buildings. Well, they were there. I don't know if they're still there. And in one of those old brick buildings was a second-hand bookshop. Right? And so my wife and I, we like books. I don't read much, but I like books, and I'll try and read for as I get a chance. So there's a sign on the corner with an arrow pointing to this bookshop. I think, so I say to my wife, and my wife says, oh, we should go have a look. I says, yeah, let's go have a look. So we're going to have a look. And when we drive down, it's all the way down the end of a driveway. There's big old brown brick buildings. Used to be old factories, I'm told, by the guy sitting in the back of the bookshop. So we drive down, park up, go in and have a look. There's a huge, big roller door up. You can see all these bookshelves and heaps of books of this big old factory. When we walk in, there's all these boxes stacked up around, like on a sort of another mezzanine floor further up. Quite a high building. He's got all these boxes stacked up in there. The guy's sitting behind a desk down the back. We can tell, you know, like, we go pay him. And we, the desk was near the front. There was a room down the back. So he's sitting near the front at this desk. But there's a room down the back. Say hello, we walk in. He's got family photos in there, I noticed, around where he is. So go down the back, have a look around. I see this door open down the back. As I'm going down, I'm looking at these photos. And I think, oh, it's a bit odd. I've never seen a shop or second-hand shop where a person keeps family photos. I just think, oh, I don't think much of it at the time. I'm looking out thinking, oh, you must be a nice fellow. He's got family photos, right? Go down the back, have a look, and I'm wandering around and see this old door. Inside that old door down the back is the cookie bear suit. Imagine. I see that cookie bear suit again. Brown cookie bear. I last seen that suit when I was a child. And there's this guy sitting at the front desk in his family photos. So I'm in a little bit of a shock. My wife's calling out to me. Have a look at this, have a look at that. I'm wandering around. I was actually looking at Bibles. I had it on my heart to look at Bibles. I'm looking at Bibles. A rack for Bibles. I asked the guy, hey, where's all the Bibles in here? And he says, tells me, I'm around the back. So I go see my wife and she's trying to talk to me. But I'm in a state of shock. I'm trying my hardest to keep it together. I manage. Holy Spirit must have given me some strength or something. So yeah, my wife's talking with me. I try and showing me books and stuff. And so we go through and we're yakking and we're looking at different things. And my other daughter, she's looking at stuff. She wants a various book or two, so we get them together. And So I feel that I should go and have a yak with that fella. So I wander around and I'm looking at the photos. Turns out they're not just, those photos aren't just by the front desk. They were dotted on the walls all the way around that room. So I'm going around, looking at the photos, getting a good look. Photos of his life, his whole life was like on those walls. With his oldest daughters that I'd forgotten about. His son I had forgotten about until then. And his wife I'd forgotten about until then. So we, I wander around. I'm looking at them. And I recognized her just ever so vaguely. And I recognized the son just ever so vaguely. And the two girls, I actually at that time I didn't quite remember. I'd forgotten that they were his daughters. But I did remember the talks. And they were quite nice to my sister. And, yeah. The memories of, at the time, of his wife and son sort of vaguely come back to me. And the daughters, vaguely, very, just not much. Anyway, I'm wandering around and I thought I'd go and ask him. I said, hey, so what did you used to do? He told me. He says, oh. So he says to me, I feel like I should tell you this. So he told me some stuff. He says to me, the boxes in here are stock from an old job I used to have. I used to be a salesman, and so I used to buy stuff and then on-sell them. Wholesaler. So I used to buy lots of stock and then on-sell it as a wholesaler. But some of his customers didn't pay him, and he was left with all that stock. They still tried to get the stock out of him for cheap, but he wouldn't let it go. Then he carries on. And I looked at the pictures. I said, oh, this is your family. And he says, yeah, I feel like I should tell you that too. So he told me that was his wife, his son, and two other daughters. His daughters are Christian, and his wife was Christian, and his son not so much. His wife passed away of heartbreak because she couldn't believe what her son done. He said to me, they used to have foster home. They used to have foster children. And the son done some bad stuff. And the wife, she died of heartbreak because she couldn't come to grips with what her son had done. So then the son was in and out of various homes. I suppose you call them rehab or prisons for things he had kept doing. He kept on trying to rape little girls. He kept on doing it. He kept on getting caught and going to prison. And the guy told me that when they had a foster home, his wife didn't believe that her son done what he did or tried to do to my sister. I managed to intervene before they did it. Sent him to hospital with stitches. And so she couldn't come to grips with it. She didn't believe at the time that that's what he did or was capable of. And so when we left, he carried on doing it. But the guy didn't realize it was me. He just felt like he should tell me. Angel must have been there. Put it on his heart to tell me. I mean, the crossroad was just down there, wasn't it? And so he told me. And his daughters lived a good life. Married Christian men and went to church and raised a Christian family like their mother would have wanted them to. The son, he kept on trying to rape girls. And eventually, the wife realized that what happened in the foster home that day was true. And it broke her heart. He told me. He told me that story, that he kept doing it, and then she realized that what happened in the home happened. That he tried to rape a little girl, my sister. And I stopped him. add the help of God and angels, the Holy Spirit, obviously. And so he kept going to prisons and rehab. Nothing worked. She kept praying for him. Nothing worked. And eventually she got sick and went to hospital. Just kept getting sicker and sicker. And the doctor said she died of a broken heart. He said it was because she had a broken heart because of what his son done. She couldn't believe it. The son eventually died of injuries, I think. He said because of going to prisons and what he had done, he eventually died because of it. Now, translating that, it means that folks in prison realized he was a kiddie fiddler and a rapist, and they would have dealt with him likewise. And I don't mean to be harsh or anything, but in all reality, it's in the Bible, and that's what happens to them. And they're all going to get that eventually. They're going to get their judgment when they get up there. I mean, he had a chance to listen to his mother, and he didn't. So, his life came to ruin, just like it says in the Bible it would. Bring your enemies down before you. Now, I don't know how many other lives that young man affected, but the father defended him. So the father's life was brought to ruin. Mother, she'll be in heaven. She was a believer. She prayed, tried to help him. Died out of disbelief and heartbreak. Surely she's there. And the two daughters, well, he told me that they have a nice life now. But not him. He tried to defend him, and that's what happened. He was brought to ruin. A year later, I recall going through there, and I was thinking maybe we should call in there, and well, it was gone. Shop was gone. Don't know where he is now. He might still be here. Might not be. Don't know. But it was gone a year later. And I remember seeing various other bookshops pop up around the way. And he wasn't... It was the same group of people. They had the same signs in here. Same signs. And they would pop up in a town hall in Tito. They'd pop up in a town hall in different parts of the country. I recall driving past and calling in and seeing if there's any books I could grab and that I'm looking for, usually Bibles, but there weren't any. And yeah, that was that. Never seen him again after that. So that's what happens to our enemies. Brought down before you, and you get to see how they are dealt with because of their lack of action. In his case, it was a lack of action, and his actions. His actions were to defend evil. His lack of action was to push that boy into the judgment that he had just deserved. The judgment that was supposed to be put upon him. His father did not push him in that direction. Defended his actions. So that's what happened to him. The people that defend evil, and that's helping them. It's quite clear what happens to them in the Bible. They suffer a very bad fate. And I don't think he was killed or anything. He was just brought to ruin. The son was, however, I think, from what I could gather from what he said. He didn't say it outright, but he did say that he died as a result of going to those places. And so I hope this helps. You're going to have to look up those verses yourself in the Bible, because I'm not going to say them out loud for the evil bastards to hear and learn from it. But you look them up. They're there. And that's another testimony my wife thought I should say. My darling wife. I'm lucky to have her. She keeps reminding me of things and helping me. So, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Where is it? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.